When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. 101.9 FM, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, talking through all the topics with your New York Yankees and your New York Mets. One, the worst team in baseball. The other, the best team in baseball. Before we went to break, I was talking about, yo, Judge is slumping. You're making him DH every day. And I guess, on one hand, it's to preserve him. Long season, the guy's been playing center field, running around on that toe, which the toe is fine, and he's not hurt, and he's slumping now, and it's not a injury concern. I think it's a, yo, he's sitting down while the team is in the field type of thing. Why don't you pivot? And I went back to look. When was the last? I was like, I know there was a time that they did it recently. It was Saturday when you put up 14 runs with Ben Rice leading off. It was Ben Rice leading off, Soto DHing, Judge in right field batting third. Why not go back to that? And it doesn't even, now that you're putting Verdugo at the leadoff spot, it doesn't have to be Rice leading off. It can be Verdugo at the leadoff spot. Why not go back to that? Why not go back to that first game of this Baltimore Orioles series with Cole on the mound again? 888-808-1019. I said I'm going to take these calls so we can get through till 2 a.m. Dan is out in Brooklyn. What's up, Dan? You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me out again.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't agree more with you. I was actually calling to say that they should put Soto in the DH spot, just because, not even just a hand injury, just the, out of the four outfielders that they have.
He's hitting again.
Defensively.
Keep it going.
He's hitting again, right.
Keep it going. He hit a home run. He had a double tonight. Keep it going. See if he can do it again tomorrow. Ice up that hand. Put him in the DH spot tomorrow.
Right, and Aaron Judge is going to help you much more defensively than Juan Soto.
Much more. Right. Much more. I don't know. I don't know why it takes us to figure that out on The Fan. But you know what they'll say? You know, they ran some analytics and some numbers, and you know they came up with Verdugo to lead off this series. And like, okay, leave Verdugo leading off. We saw him come through with a leadoff knock first thing in this game today. But, man, Judge, to break him out of the slump, put him in right field in Camden Yards where he's been, 30 different times. And let's see if that can help our guy crack through and maybe get back to hitting home runs. It's been a little while.
Right, exactly.
For
right.
him. For and him. For thing, him.
For him, right. For a long time, exactly. Another thing is, obviously, Aaron Judge, captain of the Yankees. Obviously, Jeter was the captain prior. But I think what the Yankees need is somebody like almost like a Paul O'Neill type, where somebody's a little fired up. That's why I'm not mad at Marcus Stroman going at Gleyber Torres like a bad week ago. You need a little bit of fire.
Sorry, Dan, I got to let you go, bro. Sound like there was a train in the background and sound like you might have lost your thought a little bit. I'll pick it up right from there. Yeah, I was saying I'm not mad at Marcus Stroman, and some dum-dums thought I was saying like, he's okay with Marcus Stroman. No, what Marcus Stroman did was wrong, but I understood where it came from. It was pent-up frustration. I think Stroman might have been on the mound either in Anaheim, and I'm actually going to put a note in to go look back. It was either Anaheim or San Diego where Gleyber Torres misplayed a ball, and it ended up costing him an inning. It ended up like costing him a run. You think guys don't remember that? And like Gleyber Torres has been the guy all season. He dropped a pop-up. He's made errant throws. He's done dumb stuff his whole career. But like that pent-up frustration, I think it was misplaced. And I've said this a bunch of times. It came off irrational because it's like, all right, come on, bro. I know with Vladdy Jr., running down to first, you're thinking that's an automatic double play. Vladdy slimmed down some. He can run a bit. And I don't know if Gleyber could have hustled up any more to get that throw there, whatever. But it was a boiling point, right? He slowly reached that boiling point, and he was definitely pissed off that his night was done. So when he comes in the dugout, He's banging his glove. He's yelling. But that woke the team up. They scored 16 runs that day. Because you know what? That's somebody breaking out of the malaise. That's someone showing that they care. That's called urgency. That's called I care about what's happening. I want to play today, win today. Wake up. Hello. And then he was accountable. That's why I also didn't have a problem with it. He was back in Toronto where his career started, so that played into it, in my opinion. And he said he checked in with Boone. He checked in with Glaber. He checked in, obviously, with Judge, because Judge checked him in the dugout. And we're all good. We move forward. Now, when you compare that to Carlos Rodon, slamming a bat, smacking an iPad, pouting with his hands over his head in the dugout, that's not Paul O'Neill-like at all. That's not Paul O'Neill-like at all to me. Paul be mad at himself striking out and go in the dugout and hammer a great Gatorade thing, but then he's going to come make up for it. Rodon can't make up for it. This has been Rodon's, what, last four starts? It's consistent. It looks goofy. It looks like you're a head case. It looks like you can't play here. That's different. I want to see some emotion. I want to see guys pissed off. I want to see guys playing with fire, like with their hair on fire, like they're trying to win. Like that's what I wanted to see last night in a rubber match. Play like you need this. Play like you need this game in your division. You're being owned by your own division. You're losing to your own division. You were in first place and it was fool's gold because your own division owned you. 888-808-1019. And now let's see what you look like going to Camden Yards. Cole's first start was against the Orioles. It was all right, but you know, I'm sure he wanted to do better. Now he's built up a bit. Here comes another stopper. Cole's got to have an excellent performance. The Orioles just lost to the Cubs, bro. They just got swept by the Cubs. Shut out. Two of those games that were shut out. The Yankees can't go into Camden Yards and find it. I don't believe that they can. I really don't. But, like, they should be able to. It's baseball. They should be able to figure it out. Ram is in Rockland County on the fan. What's up, Ram?
What's up, Keith? Great show, always.
Thank you, sir.
All right, two things. I'll keep it quick. So this dark cloud that's covering the Yankees, it's gone. It's gone for far too long. Do you think Juan Soto is like taking this all into account? It's flowers in Citi Field right now, and right now the pressure is building on the Yankees, and that in itself makes it, you know, enticing. And his mind's swirling because of how Yankee Stadium, how the pressure builds on the Yankees compared to what's going on with the Mets right now.
I don't know. I can't speak for the guy. I think it is very interesting how much in the beginning of the season when the Mets were struggling and Juan Soto was balling, all you heard from Mets fans was Soto and how he's renting in the Bronx and buying in Queens. And yeah, enjoy Juan Soto for now because he's coming to us. You're not really hearing too much of that now. The Mets are content with their guys, right? They're waiting for Starling Marte to come back. Like, they're not talking about getting Juan Soto. You don't need him. You know you could possibly afford him and buy him. But, you know, I think the Yankee fans now are the ones that are turning on Juan Soto. Like, hey, can't give that guy $600 million, $500 million. And also, Yankee fans are saying, oh, he's not going to want to come back to this mess.
Yeah, with the pressure, I think it's just interesting.
It is something that he hasn't felt in Petco Park or Nats Park. It is different in New York. It is a different monster in Yankee Stadium. When you are failing, you can hear everybody in section 103, 104. You can hear the fans and them just feeling like this won't end.
Yeah, it feels like it's just raining and pouring, and we're just trying to get some sun. And we get one good day, and then it rains all over. We get no hits on the other day, and it's just insane. My second point, I just don't understand why Boone doesn't hold these guys a little more accountable. You know, these guys, like today, Nestor, he gives up that opening home run, and instead of, you know, saying, you know, he didn't pitch well, he's like, well, he had him beat, but then he Rosarena just beat him on the last pitch.
Yeah, he beat him. And he owns him. And Yandy Diaz owns him, smoking the ball off him. And it's not good enough in a rubber match when you need a solid start. And he probably shouldn't have came back out. I'm trying to go back to the box score. I know he went 4 1/3. He gave up 7 hits, had 5 earned runs. There was definitely a part of the game where I'm like, as much as we wanted to say Boone navigated the bullpen and pushed all the right buttons two nights ago, man, last night with Nestor struggled right away.
So, yeah, and then he comes out and he's always like, "Oh, we had good at bats, but you know, I just feel like we're almost there." Like, there's no good at bats. These guys are striking and getting blown by, seeing pitches go
excuses,
down the middle.
It's a way for them to take up for the players and not just call a spade a spade. You lost. You were beat. You were beat 5-4, and every run counted. And it came down to a ridiculous catch from a second baseman running all the way to center field. And that's what happens. You let it come down to umpires. You let it come down to, you know, Ben Rice being able to, you know, be the only one to put bat to ball to give you hope in life.
It feels like insanity. We're watching the same lineup go out there.
And you've felt this for the last 3-4 years. That's why it feels like insanity. It's like, this is familiar. Folding like this, failing like this, it feels like something we've gone through consistently for years now. And it is.
I don't see an opportunity or like a change coming any soon. That's the hard part. Like, I don't think the Yankees would boot them at midseason, given, you know, how good we were. But it just feels like we're
it's hard
to
believe
for these guys.
It's hard for anybody to sell you on the Yankees are going to add at the deadline and they're going to get out of this. And I mean, you can look at the schedule, and I'm not doing that because I'm looking at right now what's right in front of us, like Boone said. But you can look at the schedule, and the schedule softens up, and you can sell yourself on, oh, they'll play better baseball, they'll come out of this, they could potentially still win the division. But man, they've played so bad through this stretch. It's becoming their identity. It's becoming who they are. And what we saw in the beginning of the year feels like an aberration.
I just don't see it. Like, we're waiting on Stan to come back. You already know what Stanton's going to give us. He's either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out.
I don't know. And you know what? I hope this year is different. We know that he usually takes some time to get his swing back and get into the mix again.
Now we're talking September, Keith.
they said he could come back without a rehab assignment after the All-Star break. He better. That All-Star break, he better be ready to go.
It takes him a month to get really going. So, same thing with Rizzo. Rizzo's going to come down. DJ's been no-show since he...
Don't need him.
I mean, this whole team is... It's Cashman's baby, and he sold us, and we were doing so well, and I just don't see where things go up from here. And it's really down right now, but... You know, you just gotta keep going out there every day. We gotta keep watching and just hope one, like you said,
that's what we'll do.
Someone throws a glove in the stands and that it breaks that force field that's been raining over us. But thanks, Keith. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for the call, Ram. Yeah, a Yankee fan catches Jorge Lopez's glove, and things start to shift from the Mets and the Yankees for the Mets to be the best team in baseball over that stretch, and the Yankees to be the worst. 808. Or 888-808-1019. I almost can't, like, believe it. Like, that's why I say baseball is amazing. Like, the storylines. Like, they talked about, like, the NFL script. You can't make this up. What? How come Major League Baseball isn't talking about the script writers and you can't make this stuff up? This is incredible. This is incredible. 7 degrees or 6 degrees of Kevin and Beacon on the Fan in New York. What's up, Kevin? You got it.
Mr. McPherson, how you doing? You're killing it, man.
Thanks, dude. Just trying.
I know. I hear you. I'm on my break right now at work, so I just had to hit you up real quick.
Nice.
So, just give you a quick run through. So, my father was a Yankee fan. My mother was a Mets fan. Actually, she was a Giants fan. So, when Willie Mays and them went to San Francisco, then my mother, you know, got me into that.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being a Mets fan. Everybody else took the Yankees. So, anyway... I just froze up here.
You became a Mets fan. Everybody else in your family, a Yankee fan. Yeah. Your mom was a Giants fan.
I was thinking about my parents, you know. Anyway, I'm 52, so I feel a lot of this. You know, obviously there's different teams, but like the 86 team, I'm starting to feel it like that. So my thing was that if they could go out during the All-Star break, get somebody like, you know, Robertson from Texas. You know, the guy that used to pitch for them before in the bullpen. Just get a bullpen arm, another one, and then show this team that we're ready to go after they get back from the All-Star break. You know what I'm saying?
I think they could. I mean, if Texas is definitely sellers, I was listening to Scherzer say, oh, yeah, I think we're going to figure it out and we're not going to be sellers. But Yeah, D-Rob will run it back. He's been in New York. He's a guy that's been on both sides. He come back and he's been solid. He surprised me. He was out of baseball for a little bit, but what I know is David Stearns and Steve Cohen, self-proclaimed Mets fans themselves, are not going to deprive Mets fans when they see all of this good that is going on.
Exactly.
There's just no way.
It was supposed to be almost like a push year, right? It was supposed to be like,
they never told you that. That's the thing. They never told you what this year was supposed to be. That's why I say Stearns is a genius.
He
undersold it completely. He didn't even sell it. He didn't even tell you what it was going to be. He let it be.
Right.
And you know what he did? He quietly kept tweaking and maneuvering and making moves. Okay, you're out of here. You don't perform. You're gone. This guy's gone. This guy's called up. This guy's out of here. We're adding this guy. We're doing this. We're doing, like, they didn't sit by and let the team struggle. As you've seen the Mets in past years and different regimes, just let it continue to be like they're active participants and changing this team, and it's coming together now where when you look at the National League, like, you can't tell me that they can't make noise. They are. They're the best team in baseball right now. Like, I don't think it's an aberration. I don't think it's a fluke, because when you start the year off and it's cold and teams are still figuring it out and some guys are hurt from spring training, whatever, that is more fake. That is more fool's gold. We're in the middle of it right now. We're heading into the Midsummer Classic.
That's it. Guys would, like, 3 weeks ago want to sell everything off. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do all that.
For what? I don't know what some of you... Some of you Mets fans drive me crazy with it. What do you think you're going to get? What do you think you're getting in return? Prospects or suspects?
Yeah.
You're going to get guys that may or may not pan out.
Yeah. McNeil can play four different positions. Okay, he's back 210. I don't know what he's even back. But, I mean, like I said, if you go out and get Robertson and he's got a .96 whip, he's got 60 strikeouts in 40 innings, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
It would be interesting to see them go get D-Rob, seeing how D-Rob was like the first chip that they moved like 5 days before the deadline last year to signal to the world, we're open for business, everyone's for sale. And what they got in return, I remember being on the fan saying, you could have done better than that for D-Rob. You should have held out. But they weren't trying to hold out. They were trying to signal to the major leagues of baseball, hey, we're open for business. To get him back would be a very interesting story. I don't know if they'll get him back.
It's okay. Give him the same guys back. It's all right. Whatever. All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
I appreciate you. I'm not a total Yankee hater, though, so I just want to put that out.
You're allowed to be.
The family's all Yankee guys.
You're allowed to be. Thanks for the call. You're allowed to be. You hate who you hate, love who you love, do what you want to do. Like, let people enjoy things. If you enjoy, that's why I said this goes hand in hand for some people. For the Met fan, pulling up to Citi Field, watching this team break the game open, get their first shutout win during the day, right, to go two games above .500, to put yourself in a wild card spot, and then you go home tonight, pressure's off, you swept the Washington Nationals. And you get to sit back and watch the Yankees lose a game 5-4 that comes down to the final out. Like, it goes hand in hand. There are Mets fans right now, they're sleeping like the Homer Simpson meme. They're sleeping cozy right now. Got the comforters pulled up to their chin like, this feels great. Justin is in Floral Park. What's up, Justin? You're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? How are you?
I'm all right.
Keith, the same old story with these Yankees, man. I've seen this movie too many times, and it goes back to good old Cashman. What other team has had a GM there since 1998? It's amazing to me, Keith, that they don't want to make a change with this guy. Yeah. What was the last prospect we developed besides Aaron Judge? Can you tell me?
Anthony Volpe.
Come on. Robinson Cano?
Gleyber Torres.
I mean, he wasn't even one of ours. We got him from the Cubs.
Yeah, but we developed him.
If you want to say that's developing, no hustle. I mean, it's embarrassing.
I'm not saying we're proud of his development and
if you look at the Braves, if you look at the Dodgers, if you look at the Astros, they're running guys out every year. They replace Springer with Tucker. We don't do that.
Yeah,
that's why
you have
successful.
to. You absolutely have to in baseball.
You cannot buy championships. It does not work. And so if the, you know, the Mets think they're going to do that, good luck. You got to develop
the Mets
your own
didn't buy
players.
Any championships yet. The Mets are just trying to get to the postseason.
No, but they're talking about it.
Yeah, they're talking about it because of Steve Cohen.
They talk
but,
about Soto all day they want.
Yeah,
they
talked about Ohtani. They talked about Judge. They talked about DeGrom. They talked about Yamamoto.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, Keith, this is like it's like the same old story with this team. Besides Judge, they haven't developed anybody. Pitcher? Who was the last pitcher to develop? Luis Severino, who's inconsistent at best? As Alex Cora said, this is your ace?
Luis,
it's very embarrassing.
Luis Hill, Clark Schmidt, but the book is still out on those guys. I don't know,
so, I
man.
Mean, Keith, I mean, I ain't giving up because we're only two games out. As bad as we're playing, we're two games behind the Orioles. But if this does not get better, where's the accountability? How can Hal sit up on his perch and say, oh, this is good, this is great, because
no,
I'm selling chicken
not.
Finger buckets and I'm selling 99 Judge burgers?
He's
it's
not.
A joke, man.
I don't think he cares about the food that's being sold. I don't think he's sitting up there saying any of that. I think he's looking around like, yo, what? How? How did we evaporate so fast?
And that's the thing. They said they were doing an evaluation. What evaluation they did?
No,
they
that pissed
no
me off, too.
Here.
That pissed
they
me off, too.
No
because
depth.
When we talk about accountability, after you go 82-80, and then there's news floated out there that you're going to have a third party come in and audit you, a third party come in, that would have been healthy to have somebody come in and clean up your place. And tell you what you're doing wrong and compare you to other franchises. Instead, they said, to hell with that. We don't want to bring anybody in here. Why?
Exactly.
Because they're the New York
it's
Yankees. They don't have to do that. They're the New York Yankees. They're probably looking around like, nah, we're fine. Judge got hurt. They had what they called a check your ego at the door meeting with everyone. And they came out of that meeting and said, we must trade for Juan Soto. We've already talked to AJ Preller. Omar Minaya is good friends with him. We checked on him last year at the deadline. We're first in line. We've got to see it through, and that'll fix everything.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. I mean, and like you said, they have so many holes here to fix. It's like the deadline's not going to fix it.
Yeah, it's
not. I mean, unless you're bringing in seven guys, it's not going to work.
These guys got to wake up. They
got
to have better at-bats. They have to have a better approach. They have to be locked in. Like, I liked what I saw out of Soto at the end of the game. Okay, you're a gamer.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, you know the game is on the line. You're taking every pitch seriously. That's how these guys' at-bats looked in the beginning of the year. How come that wore off, right? Volpe's at-bats were looking like Soto's at-bats. Cabrera's at-bats, like, they were spitting on these pitches. Now they're swinging at everything, or they're hoping for a strike to be called a ball, and when it's borderline, you're not getting that because it's Yankees versus the umps, and they want to see you lose, and they want to get on the plane
that's
out of
Tampa.
Another
thing, and that's why I want Boone out of here. I'm so sick of his savages in the box. What he did was great, and now he's just complaining and moaning.
No, now he doesn't.
Every call, see, and we got a reputation, and it looks
now
terrible.
He doesn't.
That's embarrassing.
Now he's quiet, man. Since he got tossed in that Oakland A's series where the umpire thought it was him and it was someone in the stands, man, he doesn't bark. He doesn't get at these guys. For what? Like,
yeah, I mean,
it doesn't help anybody's cause.
Blake? Somebody did it today, and it's just so embarrassing. I'm just so over it.
Yeah, Blake got a little upset because Boone knows he can't. Yep. He'll get tossed, and he leads the league in being tossed. It just all looks super weak, Justin. Thanks for the call, man. It just all looks weak as, you know, like, you're losing, and you're complaining about a strike zone, and the guy behind the plate is like, yeah, nothing you could do about it. Remember you spit on me last year in your ballpark yelling at me, tried to embarrass me? Remember you showed up my compadres? You showed up my friends that I went to umpire school with? Remember that? Yeah. Who's got the last laugh? My guy Jules in Oakland, New Jersey. Before we go to break, Julian, you got it. What's up, bro?
Hey, Keith, thanks for having me back on. Happy to be back. So, I mean, yeah, the Yankees are an absolute tailspin. You look at everything and nothing looks good. We thought when we got Juan Soto that they would end up being better overall at the plate. But the problem is they only have two productive hitters on a consistent basis. Again, like, it's like the same thing we've seen in other years, like you were saying.
Yeah, how come when you're in Yankee Stadium and you look up at the lineup, you just, like, don't see enough guys hitting 280, 290, 300, like, you don't see it. Like, right now, Judge and Soto, are hovering around 300. The rest of these guys are under 250 hitters.
Exactly, bro. I mean, it's just like the same thing. I know a lot of people don't hit for average anymore, but the Yankees are just like below what they should be. The OPSs aren't there.
I was about to say, let's talk OPS then. Obviously, Judge's OPS is ridiculous. His OPS is almost double some of these guys.
Yeah, him and Soto. And then Stan going down was huge. It's inevitable with him, unfortunately, but... they need him back badly because that was the third bat that was kind of providing some life. I mean, Ben Rice has been pretty good since he's been called up. Austin Wells is starting to get it going. I didn't like the decision to pinch hit for him. Like, let him hit against the left to get a homer in the game.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, man. It's like, that's when we talk about feel and heartbeat and a guy being hot and a guy having a good game. And instead of going off of that, you go with the script, you go with the matchup, and it just, it doesn't work out in your favor. Trevi didn't swing the bat. Trevi went and obviously he had his eyes and saw that Fairbanks was wild, but they're not giving you anything. You got to protect. You got to swing the bat. Foul it off if it's close. And it wasn't even close. So I don't know, man. And then I look at the Rays lineup. They only have a couple hitters with good averages. But, man, I mean, Brandon Lowe, they DH that guy. He's been a problem for years. Remember, he said something last year, Slick, about the Yankees, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we're heading into, you know, where we're going in our postseason, and they're, you know, they're not. Like, I got to look up what Brandon Lowe said, Slick, about the Yankees. Like, don't forget that these guys hate you. Don't forget that these guys are going to give you their best shot because you're the Yankees and they're who they are. Arozarena and Diaz. Arozarena's having a down year this year. He was an all-star last year against his buddy Nestor. Yeah, he's going to get right. Yandy Diaz smoking the ball.
Exactly. Yeah, Wild did say some slick stuff. I remember exactly what you're talking about. And he's been a little bit rough with his injuries, too. But he's back, and he's always killed the Yankees, too. That's a team the Yankees need to handle. I mean, even they're not having the best season. They're still decent, but they're not playing to their standard. But the Yankees aren't playing to theirs either. And now they're going to go into Baltimore. Hopefully they can at least win one game. I mean, that's what I'm saying right now, hope, even though Baltimore is reeling.
Hope we continues. Let's hope they win one game against the Baltimore Orioles. Please, come on, guys. Can we hope Gerrit Cole on the mound? Can you guys hit? Can you guys have an inning where you score double-digit runs?
Yeah, it would be nice. And you're lucky to only be behind two games because the Orioles.
But not double-digit runs. Well, you know what I mean. Can you have an inning where you score more than one run? Put up a crooked number, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know the fans are going to travel down there. The Yankees will have some nice crowds in Baltimore, as they always do. So hopefully they can get it going. Cole was rough last time. The Blue Jays started to look good. He's still trying to fully get to himself, so this will be a good way to see what he has before the break.
Yeah, fingers crossed, bro. Thanks for the call, Jules. 888-808-1019. Yeah, it was last year. And after the game, Brandon Lowe said, looking at it, it's a last place team against a team that's in contention. They're just trying to ignite something over there. Not worth our time at this moment. We're focused on bigger things right now. After the Yankees were, doing childish things like trying to throw at them. I'm trying to, you know, in my mind, go back to this nonsense. It was after a benches clearing altercation. And you know what? An inflection point as we get back to the next time to face the Orioles coming up tonight in this weekend. We beat them the first game with Nestor on the mound, and all Yankee fans could obsess over on this radio station and online was throwing at them. And I tried to say, no, 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 that's over. But all you wanted was a pound of flesh. All you wanted was, hey, throw at them. We got to show them we're not soft. Everyone in Major League Baseball thinks you're soft now. It doesn't matter. You lead the league in hit by pitches and throwing at guys by accident. You can't pitch. So what did that do? Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. I've got 20 minutes left. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, let's rock. I think this is the last stretch here. Yeah, we won't have another break. This will go for the next 15 minutes or so. Keith McPherson on the Fan, bringing it home. C-Mac coming up next. C-Mac will also be on later today in the afternoon. Make sure you tune in for Evan and C-Mac, Evan and McMonagle, Evan and Big Mac, whatever it is. Either way, man, I saw a video pop up on Twitter from QB Country. C-Mac will be interested to see this because there's been so much conversation today, starting last night into the afternoon, about Daniel Jones and Hard Knocks. And is Daniel Jones going to be ready to play after Joe Shane said, we got to protect ourselves. If he's not ready to go, we can't go 0-3. So QB Country put out a video of Daniel Jones and like some of the drills and footwork things that he's doing. I've done them and they mean nothing. But it's like good work with Giants QB Daniel Jones. And I'm watching his feed and I'm watching him like they're not even like, I don't know. It's all quick game stuff, a couple rollouts. They don't even have him really like setting his feet and stepping into throws. But he looks good, right? He looks good throwing the ball. He looks like he's moving around fine. What I said to it, I said, this is what we call on air. I quote tweeted. I said, this is what we call on air. You're as safe as a radio host on air. Basically saying like, all of this is good until you're avoiding an actual, you know, 300-pound defensive tackle or a 6'5", 275 defensive end or somebody blows an assignment blocking and now you got to do this. I said, he's moving his feet well. Let's see if he's cleared for contact and what it looks like when he has to take off and run the ball. Like, I want to see when Daniel Jones is, hey, on that back foot, and then he's got to take a step and go forward off of that knee. Because the knee that he messed up is his plant foot. It's on his back leg. Now, hey, I don't know, y'all. I'm rooting for the guy. But this is going to be his biggest test yet. He's had a lot of challenges to overcome from different coaches, different schemes, being the next Eli Manning, whatever. This is the biggest test yet for Daniel Jones. 888-808-1019 if you want to talk Daniel Jones with C-Mac. I got to take the rest of my calls. Nobody's talking Daniel Jones. Let's go to Ed in Middletown, New Jersey.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I know you're a Cashman fan. And
wait,
I just,
what? Wait. You don't say that. You know I'm a Cashman fan.
I don't know. I've heard you.
I don't own any Cashman jerseys. I don't own any Cashman hats. I don't think you can say I'm a Cashman fan. I'm just not a Cashman hater and critic like everybody else. Like I just think too many Yankee fans talk about the bad and never mention the good, and that's not fair.
No, listen, I understand that, right? But, like, for me, it's like, at what point is he responsible? And is it time to move on, right? Like, because you just mentioned the Giants. I enjoy watching the Giants. Even though they're not where they are, it's at least there's a change and you feel like they're trying. It's moving in a different direction.
Yeah, but they've been Cashman's one of the worst teams in the NFL the last 10.
I know. But it's like I still have hope. It's not like, you know, when you're, I don't know. I believe you're married. I believe you have a kid.
Yeah.
I've heard a couple of those stories.
Correct.
And it's right. But like, you know how your wife's going to, like, there's a certain situation and you know how your wife's going to respond to it. You know how Cashman's going to respond to things, right? And the reason I say that is because I've been married. I'm going to be 20 years this year, right? Cashman has been a GM longer than I've been married to my wife.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
He's got one ring to show for it, and you've got one ring to show for it as well.
I love that, by the way. That's amazing. But it's he's responsible for Boone. Everybody's hating on Boone right now. I don't know if Boone, it could be Boone under Cashman, if that makes sense.
It is all of them. This losing is contagious. This woe is me feeling is contagious. This malaise is contagious. That's why Cashman showed up this series in Tampa to show his face in front of the media, meet the media, and pop out and take some accountability. What did it change? What did it do? They were able to score two runs in the one game that they won. And supposedly they partied like it was 1999. And then they come out today and they can't find a way to win that game. And it sets you right back to the way you felt 2 days ago. So, yeah, at what point is Cashman accountable? Every single day. Thanks for the call, Ed. Every day. I've been saying this has to be Cashman's magnum opus. Because if you thought that the fans were upset last year, at least half the fan base said, come on, Judge was hurt. Judge is healthy. And we just saw Judge have two of the best months back-to-back ever. And we couldn't expect him to carry through July. I don't expect him to continue on being the DH every day, doing what he's doing. That's a whole different ball game. That's half the ball game. So I think Cashman has to have a ridiculous trade deadline. I think we got to be on the fan like, yo, no way did he get this. Didn't see this coming. Okay, obviously he added some to the bullpen, which I'm not too worried about the bullpen. I was more worried, but I see the work and the changes that they've made, and there's some guys in the bullpen that I trust now. Not for nothing. There's some guys in the bullpen that I'm like, well, the starting pitching has to be better. The bullpen is getting it done. Kirk Cousins' cousin, you like that? I like that. I like that, Jake Cousins. He's got some nasty stuff. He comes in and strikes out three. Less honking, more tonking. Michael Tonkin has been in the circle of trust. Did Caleb Ferguson go out there and get the job done tonight? He did. So I don't need Mason Miller. I don't need Tanner Scott. I need some bats, and I need some competitors, and I need to be surprised when that buzzer sounds and it is pens down on July 30th with who is going to be coming into the Yankee clubhouse. Jim is in Lynbrook. What's up, Jim? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Well, I mean, there's no way to parse it. Been listening to you for, I don't know, how long you've been on the Fan? 3 years?
Yeah, in August will make it 3 years since my audition night.
Right. So it's just been the Yankees, Nets, when they were winning, when they had, like, players, and you were laughing about the Knicks, Cowboys, and the Devils, because you're on the payroll. So, like, I mean, when does it end?
Right? When does what
I mean, the Yankee homerism is like, it's just like an ash, and the guy coming behind you, and Brandon Tierney, the whole Yankee network.
Are you
thing,
high?
I get it.
Are you on edibles right now? Are you listening to the show, or did you just come in now? Oh, hey, this guy's got 5 minutes left. Let me come in and call him a homer.
No, I've been waiting online for about an hour and 10 minutes.
So then you're just dumb. You're just brain dead.
I'm dumb.
I've been killing the Yankees all night.
Cowboys.
I talk Mets the whole way to open. I've been trying to talk
God.
Mets.
Because they're the hottest team in baseball. If they can figure out how to get six outs, the Mets are dangerous. The
Yankees they're starting to
dumb.
Figure that out. But you tried to come in
and say,
oh, well, I'm listening to you. Bro, go to bed. Oh, I'm listening to you. When does it end? You talked about my fandom. Talk about my ability to host a show. Talk about my ability to take calls and bounce off of what you guys say. Whatever goes on in your dense head, whatever you think about me, I don't care. Listen, use your ears, right? The Devils sucked this past year. I was bigging up the Rangers. Are we talking about the Brooklyn Nets? You never hear me talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Who was taking you through the ride every night as the Knicks were winning? Talking about how great that run and that story was. The Yankee homerism, I'm literally tearing them down. I'm literally telling you how they're the worst team in baseball. See, that's what I'm talking about. Some of you goofies exist only online. But I guess there's some old goofies that don't go on Twitter and they're like, I'm going to dial 888-808-1019 and I'm going to wait on hold for an hour to tell this guy all about himself. You can't. That was a dumb call. That was a dumb call. Do better. The Dallas Cowboys? A couple nights ago, I was talking about how I'm not even repping them. I'm going to start wearing NFL hats and NFL shirts. I'm going to go to the clearance rack in Marshalls and TJ Maxx and get that NFL equipment. Because they're a joke. I could talk to you about the Giants all night. I could talk to you about the Jets all night. Like, you can't check me, homie. You might not like me. You might not like my style. But you can't come at me as far as what I bring to this radio station. That was an L. Jonathan is in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Jonathan, you got it. Johnny, sorry for yelling. I just had to defend myself.
I was on mute. My bad. What's up, Keith?
You know, bringing it home. Jim in Lynbrook thought he was going to come in and be like, you only like these teams, and you're a homer of these teams.
Yeah.
Like, nah, bro, listen. Don't helicopter in. I know you might not catch me every night because I'm on at 11 o'clock, but nah, that was a miss. 0-3 on that one.
No, I just want to say this Yankee team is incapable of battling any kind of adversity, and it's just ridiculous. They come in, if you have a chance to win a series, going hot in the Baltimore, and they just every opportunity they get to score, they don't score. Like Volpe works the count, he gets up, and then he does a little ground out. Trent Grisham's a free out. Verdugo hasn't been hitting. All these, like, only guys I trust are Judge, Soto, and Ben Rice, and it's just like, other than that, and you were right.
Like Ben Rice, it's hilarious how much we're all like, yeah, Ben Rice. We get excited for Ben Rice's at bats, and he was you know, he had 50 at bats for the Rail Riders.
yeah.
That's not a good thing. And, like, that's not good.
Yeah, and you said about Baltimore, spot on. They just got swept. They're not going to come in. Let us come in there and like win. We're like, if we fold and like we keep acting the way we're acting and looking all nonchalant, and they're gonna mow us down. And
it's not gonna be a fun weekend going into the All-Star break like that. Last year they limped into the All-Star break, fumbling the game and the series, losing to the Cubs. I was out in Seattle. Everything that I had with me had a Yankee logo on it, and I just got roasted at every party, at every event, and got a side. I was like, yeah, well, the Yankees, what are they doing this year? And I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. The Yankees are this fake elite. They're this fake, like, it's all a house of cards.
Yeah, that's all I got to say. Thanks for letting me call, Keith.
Thanks for the call, John. Did you hear that, Jim, in Lynbrook? You can rewind on the free Odyssey app. I said the Yankees are fake elite. I said the Yankees are a house of cards. I said I'm embarrassed wearing Yankee stuff from here to Seattle, Washington. But you're going to hear what you want to hear. And that's cool. That's cool. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what time it is. Like, you can't call me up and tell me about myself. I do this, bro. Said I'm on the payroll. For the Devils? Yeah, they hook it up because the Devils aren't dumb, right? The Devils see a young guy like me that took on them and reps for them. I don't think they've had a voice on the Fan that has done what I've done with the Devils. When the Devils get right, you should fear that, Jim. You might be a Rangers fan or an Islanders fan when the Devils get right and I'm on air talking about it in the fall. Yeah, I'll be back to repping them, but I wasn't doing that this year. There was no place for it. I talk about what we're supposed to talk about. I talk about the topics at hand. It has nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, when the Dallas Cowboys smack the Giants 40-0 and I'm there, yeah, I'm going to get a laugh out of that on air. But then when the Dallas Cowboys fold to the Green Bay Packers, that's embarrassing. I'll rip Jerry Jones easily. But we're not talking about Jerry Jones. We're far from Arlington. The Brooklyn Nets? The Brooklyn Nets ran Ben Simmons out there. They don't deserve any time. During this past season, I was not talking about the Nets at all. But maybe you do remember like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the Nets had KD, Kyrie, and they were beating the Knicks. Yeah, I certainly enjoyed that. I certainly got a laugh out of that. That was Lil Bro punching up. And the Yankees, I think I've been very critical of the New York Yankees, despite getting the chance to call a Yankee game, despite being treated very well by the New York Yankees, the Yes Network, and Yankee fans at 161st and River. Last call of the night goes to Alan in Linden, New Jersey. What's up, Alan? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Great.
Hey, real fast, 1962, Polo Grounds. I was there with my father, 7 years old.
Awesome.
And then we're going, I'm not a Mets fan my whole life, you know. So I go through the whole team. The Mets are like, and you know what, Zimmo, if he plays an All-Star game, he might get hurt. But you know how hard he plays and how good he is? I mean, not that I want him to be mixed off. It's just that I'm afraid he might get hurt. But he don't let up.
Nah, he's diving for the ball. He's running hard on the bases. Nimmo is a baller. He goes out there trying to win.
He might be the best non-pick All-Star player ever.
Yeah. If they don't sub him in, today I think is the day. We heard about the subs in the American League. If they don't sub him in today, it'll be an all-time snub, especially because of the week he had once he learned he was not an All-Star.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing real fast. Steve Summers used to say, New York Metropolitan.
Yes, sir.
I remember Steve Summers. I used to listen to him all the time. Right?
Yeah, good guy. I got to call Steve. Thanks for the call, Alan. I had, like I said, I had someone call me today, and it was a pleasant surprise. He said, Steve Summers gave me your number. And I was like, oh, well, what do you need? Anything for Steve. And we had a good conversation about some things. He might be listening now, but I won't put his name out there, man. Shout out to everyone listening. People that enjoy what I do, people that don't enjoy what I do. It comes with the territory. And you know what? This is the radio. You can't see me. So you have to actively listen to understand and know what's going on. And I know some of you are challenged when it comes to actually being able to listen. You listen to the radio, you hear what you want. And I know I can tell by a lot of the calls that we get and a lot of things that are written on the internet that listening, your comprehension after you listen, you got to go back and rewind on a free Odyssey app. That's all I got, man. C-Mac is in here ready to rock, and he's going to stay here and then rock the afternoon, and I can't wait to hear him do that. So thanks again to everybody that called and was a part of the show. People writing on Twitter at Keith_McPherson. Hopefully the Yankees behind Gerrit Cole find a way to get a win against the Orioles. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Mets are going to beat the Rockies, probably sweep the Rockies. Go out there and get you a Brandon Nimmo bobblehead. Lift that man up and celebrate him because he should be an all-star, and maybe they'll make him one tomorrow. I'm out of here. Bye. Radio 101.9.